this. All of them lost souls, and I'm their Jesus. Deepest, when I was broke, I'm Rakim. Had to tell him I ain't a joke. What did profit man to gain the world yet lose his soul? Lord knows.
My mother asked me the other day, like, you know, I heard you part of something called the Illuminescence. And I'm like, Ma, what are you talking about? She's like, no, you part of something called the Illuminescence. The people in church told me you are part of something called the Illuminescence. And I'm like, Ma, what is you talking about? What is the Illuminati? I ain't never heard this in my life. So come to find out, she talking about the Illuminati.
Yeah.
And I was so hot because I'm like, man, y'all in church telling my mama this type of stuff. Yeah. Like now, mind you, I'm gone like 4 days out of a week. You know, I got to handle stuff when I do get home. So I see her one day. So the rest of the days, they get the poison,
mm-hmm.
you know? Yeah. Then she go to church on Sunday, then she probably there for like 4 hours.
Yeah.
That it happened at church.
It happened at
church.
I
ain't like that.
Did you ask Kanye about the devil stuff, too?
Man, ain't no devil stuff, man.
There ain't no devil stuff?
Man, ain't no devil stuff.
All right, all right. I sold my soul to the devil, that's a crappy deal. I sold my soul to the devil, that's a crappy deal. This came with a few toys that...
The plan was to take it to the pain over. But what's worse, the pain over the hangover. Fresh air rolling out a window. Too many Urkels on your team, that's why your wind's low. I sold my soul to the devil, that's a crappy deal. If you came with a few toys like a Happy Meal, this game you could never win. Cause they love you, then they hate you, then they love you again. Get away from me loneliness, get away from me misery. Get away from me fake, I can't take the phoniness. Get away from me whack tracks, I could only make only hits. Death, it's only one God and it's only one crown, so it's
death, it's only one God and it's only one crown, so it's only one king that can stand on this man.
Ain't never get mad, just went up another level. Yeah, I've been dancing with the devil.
Peace, y'all. Peace, peace, peace. So, in this video, I'm going to be breaking down the legendary rap group, the Clips. Now, they were very inspirational for me coming up as far as me producing as well. All right. If you guys know, they had a hit single by the name of Grindin'. A lot of people were familiar with that song, and it was very popular, all right, in the early 2000s. But there were some things that I noticed in their career that I wanted to point out to you guys, all right? Also, I'm going to be breaking down another form of sacrifice that is usually done in the music business, all right? Or in the entertainment industry. And a lot of people weren't aware of it. I don't think I've elaborated on this ever before, so I guess I'll do it in this video, you know, since the shoe fits. Alright, so the Clips basically consist of Terrence and Gene Thornton, alright? And they were born in the Bronx, New York, alright? Now, a lot of people think that the Clips were actually twins, but Malice was actually older, okay? His name was Gene Thornton, okay? He was born 1972, okay? And then you have Pusha T, whose name was Terrence Thornton, and he was born May 1977. All right. Shortly after, they moved to Virginia Beach in 1979. All right. Malice, who was the older brother, was actually the hip hop head and started rapping at a very young age. Okay, he was influenced by Eric B and Rakim, Ice-T, and Kool G Rap. All right, but he was actually the forefront of becoming a rapper shortly after when they moved to Virginia Beach. All right, so in the early 90s, Malice had started a group by the name of Jarvis and would perform up until they met with Pharrell Williams. Okay, so now they were introduced to Pharrell Williams by a friend of theirs. All right. And Pharrell was very popular around this time. Okay, Pharrell actually got his notoriety at a very young start. Okay, because he wrote the lyrics for Teddy Riley's Rump Shaker. All right, he also went on to produce some records for SWV with songs such as Use Your Heart that actually got him a placement on the album. And then he went on to produce for Nori, which was the Super Thug song. Pharrell continued to work with Malice and the group Jarvis, and then actually signed them to a production deal under the Arista label. All right. When he started his group, the Neptunes, they were the first rap group to actually be signed to Pharrell at that time, along with Khalees and others. Pusha T wasn't actually rapping yet, but it was one day when he decided to rap, and Pharrell convinced him to shortly start rapping after and start a group. So this is how the clips became into play. After Malice returned from serving in the army, Pharrell got them a record deal at Elektra in 1996. All right. Now, at this time, they had no backing, just Pharrell. OK, it was basically like shopping a demo and they went and got a deal. He actually went and got the clips a deal at this time. All right. They recorded their first studio album, which was called Exclusive Audio Footage, with their hit single, The Funeral. That actually got them a little buzz in Virginia, but they was later on dropped because the record sales was too low. So they didn't really do that good, you know. Now, at this point, after they were dropped from Elektra, they started to realize that they wasn't getting the notoriety that they actually wanted. And they realized that they needed to get money to get further in their career. This is where they met Tony G's. Now, I explained this to y'all before, how a lot of rappers that come into the industry, they usually come in through a drug dealer base. All right. So if somebody is funding them with street money, not saying that Tony G was actually doing so, but he actually explained this in a few interviews, how he was actually funding their career and they were living. They were rapping where he was living at the time.
The first single is Grindin'.
Yeah.
Were you there when they put that song together?
Yeah, I was there when they put the song together. I was actually in the studio when they did it.
Okay. And I had heard that they didn't really even like the beat. It was like, all right, where's the rest of it? And Pharrell was like, nah, this isn't going to work.
Yeah, no, that's true. They didn't like the beat. You know, actually, after they recorded it, and it was me who was taking it to the different radio stations, and I'm like sleeping outside the radio stations trying to get the DJs them to actually play it on the radio. And this one DJ I gave it to, his name was DJ Dose, I think, like that. So I give him the record, and I called him. I said, yo, you gonna play it? And he said, well, I don't really like the beat. Maybe I can do the beat over. And I'm like, what? So he didn't play it, but I ended up having DJ Stress. DJ Stress ended up playing, him and Joe, they ended up playing it, and it took off. But actually, it didn't take off for about 9 months. Because we end up getting inside of, we end up doing a tour, East Coast tour, all us on a little Winnebago and going up and down the East Coast trying to get it played.
Yeah, I mean, it's a very unique song. I mean, just a drum beat like that, like something you would do on your, you know, cafeteria table, yeah. Pretty much.
Yeah.
And you got these two guys spitting drug rhymes all throughout, and it just somehow worked.
Yeah, no. Yeah, like I say, it was a 9 month run, man, before it really hit. Cause you know, for 9 months it wasn't being played. And I remember that day when we was in New York and they started playing it and Flex. I think was it Cypher Sound or Flex dropped some bombs on it, and we thought it was over then.
Okay, and the clips really were known for the drug rap. I mean, from the first single to Pusha T's name to pretty much every song. I mean, to this day, Pusha T, every song is talking about cocaine and drugs and so forth. How much of that, in terms of those lyrics on that first album, how much of that was based on your life?
I say a lot. I say 90-95%. But I never say, hey, you should say this, you should say that. You know what I mean? I didn't have to. You know what I mean? Because they saw what was going on.
Now, as you can see there, you know, he was going to radio stations to actually push the song, all right, and get their song played. Now, like I said, there's a such thing as payola, and a lot of people actually go through this. Now, whether Tony G's was doing this, I don't know, all right? But at this very point in time, they had to do what they had to do to get that song played, and it actually worked out for them. Their second album, which was titled Lord Willing, that came out in 2002, did very good, all right? It did very good. It put them on the map with a lot of people, and they started to do more and more features. Their second album, Hell Have No Fury, did fairly well as well. That came out in 2006. They had a couple of songs on there that a lot of people remember, but it was mostly a street album, and it did all right. Now, here's where it gets interesting, is when Kanye West came into play, which was in 2009, with their last album, To The Casket Drops. Feels my life after death, big and get to see how this feels. Now, if you guys remember this time, it was a very dark aura around Kanye West because he had just lost his mother, and the album he released, 808 Heartbreaks, was actually doing really, really good. But you can tell that there was something wrong around Kanye at this time. He had a dark, dark aura. Now, I'm going to go into the certain parts of when No Malice explained that they actually wanted to do certain things and cause a separation with the two brothers.
The harassment, they tried to get me to go back doing the same kind of music that I used to do.
Right.
They tried to get me to stop glorifying God. They tried to intimidate me. You know, they tried to tempt me with money. They tried to tempt me with women. Mm. They tried to tempt me with fame. Like, they, you know, that's how they come at me at night. And then when they see that they're unsuccessful, they do an all-out assault where they fight me. They change.
Now, here's a point in case that I'm going to explain to you guys about another form of sacrifice that's actually done in the business. Now, with these two coming in as a duo, right? They understood that in order for one person to progress, another one would have to be sacrificed. Now, some people are not down with this aspect, but then another form of sacrifice is cutting ties with someone that you're very close with. In the public eye, you're never seen with this person, so therefore it's technically that they don't exist to you anymore. And this is where the whole concept comes of sacrifice and cutting ties. We see a lot of rappers that actually do this, that they're no longer friends or cool with individuals that they once came in the game with anymore, all right? Some people cut off their family relatives, even such, right? But at the same time, when they do this, this is what you call cutting ties. It's actually a form of sacrifice that the elite accept. Another reason why many people may cut ties is to avoid being sacrificed as a blood sacrifice. Now, if someone says to you, hey, you know what? We need a family relative. We need somebody close to you. And they recommend your kin or your brother. Okay, the best thing that person will have to do is cut ties with them so they're no longer cool with them and separate themselves so there won't be a sacrifice done. Now, when a lot of people do this stuff, man, I'm just going to be honest with you, man. It actually does more harm than good, all right, in that case. But when I pay attention to the clips and their whole ordeal and how they came up pretty quick and unknown and nobody really knew about them. But this is what I'm saying, y'all. When you get in this business, there's always ways that people skip the line. That's why I gotta tell you over and over and over again. Don't get in this business if you don't know the business. All right. So with that being said, y'all, I hope I elaborated on this video and gave y'all some clear indication that this stuff is no joke. It's another form of Cain and Abel. All right. A representation of Cain and Abel when you see stuff like this. All right. So hope you guys have a blessed week. I'm going to be dropping more videos for you guys on Patreon. Let me know in the comments or in the message box what you want me to talk about, and I'll get that video out as soon as possible. Peace.